This is the final message in the Gregorian calendar year 2017. Woo! We've traveled 52 weeks in God's Word. We've looked at the past, we've looked at the present, and we've looked at the future. In our first series of messages, which occurred in January and February, we covered biblical ideas for building Christ's church that meets in this building, in this structure, this house of worship. And in the first three of that series, we learned that He makes all things new, and His church prevails, and it's bearing fruit into the future. Those were the first three messages of the year. And then in the next three messages, we learned that you are the temple of God, and we learned that it is called, each of us are called to cast a dragnet to call others into the family of God, and that we are all to be surrendering to the will of God. Then we had three messages about those who are faithful to Christ and being devoted in prayer and returning the lost church. That covered the first couple of months of the year. That was the first series. In the second series of messages, we had seven series of messages this year, by the way. And in the next series, we focused on Christ's victory over His enemies. We saw the deceived deceiver. We learned about the destroyed destroyer. We heard about the temporary ruler who was overruled and the liar who learns the truth. In the second half of that series of messages, we learned about Christ's victory, the victor's battle sword, which is the Word of God, and we learned about the victorious king on a donkey and the victorious king over death. These are things that we learned in the first two series of messages. In the third series, God showed us Christ's victorious church. We saw the victorious beginning of the church. And then we looked at the church then and now, and the change that changed everything. Christ. His resurrection. For Mother's Day, we looked at a mother's love. If it weren't for Mary's love, we'd have never heard of this guy, Jesus. Then we learned about soul conversion preaching and holy resistance to earthly powers. We also learned believers are to be of one heart and soul, and we must obey God above all others. We had two messages, two parts in that particular topic. In the fourth series of messages, we dealt with the servants of God. We looked at the early servants, Steve, Phil, five guys and Saul, and Tabby. And God uses women too. And that led us to ask, who can be a servant of God? And then we looked at Barney. And we took two messages to do that because there's a whole lot written about Barnabas. And then we looked at the servants' habits. What are the habits of the servants of God? God commands us and all to touch not His anointed, even though they don't heed that message. And very often God's servants are punished or they're hurt or they're tormented or they're persecuted. Move into tribulation. And as we moved into August, we looked at Pete and the prayers of faith. Then we learned that we're all co-workers with God, and we wrapped up that series by looking at Tim and Paul, Silas and Lydia. Again, another woman servant. In our fifth series of messages in 2017, we asked signs. What signs? We covered that in three sets. First, we learned about the things that were foretold and the fulfillment of those prophecies in our time. In part two, just another one, I called it. We looked at the tragic shooting in Las Vegas where hundreds of people were injured and many were killed. We learned about Christ's command for self-protection. Part 3 taught us about a great falling away, and Part 4 taught us the joy of the Lord being ours even in the midst of tribulations. And you might recall that we had a message there when the church got shot up down there in the South. On October 29th, Chuck King of Frontier Harvest Ministries brought the message on being strong and courageous. And you might remember he said to have your mind washed in the New Testament. Have your mind washed in the Bible. And then on November 5th, Dr. Bill Bittner of Butler Christian Ministries brought the message on our spirit and the Holy Spirit. Yours truly delivered a message in Ocala, Florida on that same day. And I delivered that on the watchmen that we're all called to be. All of these messages are available online, and we put them on CD. If you want any of the messages throughout the year, you can either find them online or I can make you a CD of them if we don't have one out on the counter. And once I returned, we continued in the Day of the Lord series by looking at the comfort of God and our thankfulness. And finally, in the seventh series of 2017, we looked at Christ's coming. We learned to expect the Shepherd of Hope, and we learned to expect the announcement of His coming. And after that, we learned to expect the proclamation. He's going to proclaim us in or out in the end. And then we learned of God's prophecies fulfilled and to expect the fulfillment of those prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. Christ is coming again. We can expect the fulfillment of that prophecy. And last week we learned to look at past illusions that surround Christmas and to expect the Messiah and expect the truth. And that brings us to the present day. And as I was preparing to put a message together, you know, all this stuff was going on. Just like always, there's just so many things happening. I had to make a couple of trips to Pittsburgh, and that ate up a lot of time. And I got to thinking, Lord, how am I going to do this? You know, I can't do all of the work that I normally do to prepare a message. I don't have the time. And He took me into a message that I had delivered in 2008, right here in this very same building. And so I adapted part of that message, I mean much of that message, to this morning. Because I preach the same, folks. You're going to hear the same preaching from 2008, essentially. It was revised, but essentially the same message that I preach today. Every year we come to the end of December and we flip the calendar. We take the calendar and we flip a page, right? Here we go. New Year! Happy New Year, right? We flipped a calendar page, okay? Hey, truth be told, we flipped a calendar page. Calendars change. Seasons change. People change. And the world we live in changes continuously. Some change is good, but some is not. We affect change and we are affected by it. And I hope all of us can be better prepared to adapt to the changes that God has for us in 2018. Many are necessary in our work for the Lord. And I believe God is changing this place. The church that meets in this building is being changed. In 2008, I don't think any of you were here. There was a whole different crew of people that were here. And God changed that. And I say, praise Him. And this year, as we go forward, I believe we're going to see more changes. I'm trusting God's going to bring more people, and He's going to bring more musicians, and He's going to bring everything that we need to continue to do His ministry in this building. Because God is always faithful. If you will, I want you now to open your Bible to the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. You'll find that on page 450 in the Pew Bible. We are going to begin with verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 8. Page 450 in the Pew Bible, third chapter of Ecclesiastes, beginning at verse 1. So hear what's written there. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. I ask that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. There's a season for everything, the Bible says. Things come and go. Like the pages on the calendar. How many of you stumbled on an old calendar that you have around the house? I have. I have calendars. I have had calendars, of course, most of my life. The very mention of the word change causes some folks to cringe. But you know, everything changes. It's the only thing that's constant. Somebody said the only thing constant is change. Change can cause dissonance. It can cause unrest. It can cause uneasiness and even emotional pain in many people, or maybe most people. It depends on the change. You think about a loved one who passes on. We know that they're in glory, and yet we experience pain. Part of it is because of the change in our lives, because they're no longer a part of it. We resist change because of that pain. It challenges us on many levels. Intellectually, change tests our sense of who we are. And it confronts what we hold dear or believe to be true. Change confronts us. What do we truly believe? What do we hold dear to? The church, in many cases, holds on to traditions. We've always done it that way. Can't tell you how many times I've heard that in a church. Oh no, we can't change that. That was established a long time ago. Well, God can change anything. And He has here. Emotionally, change opposes our comfort zone. We get comfortable. We get to feeling like everything's good. You know, you get in the car and it starts up. Vroom. You get down the road, it runs nice and straight. But then all of a sudden it stops running. That's a sudden change. Now your comfort zone's been altered. Okay? Our lives can be like that. Sometimes we're going right along and suddenly something breaks down. It doesn't run the way it used to. And we get uncomfortable because there's change. It opposes our comfort zone. It forces us to stretch beyond limits that we've set or sometimes what other people have set for us. You know, as we look at our children and they grow, we set limits for them. We set parameters for them to operate in. And sometimes they get beyond those limits. We have to reel them in. But at some point in time, we've got to let them go. They're on their own. We hope that we set those boundaries well enough so that they understand and they stay within them. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they step so far away from the boundaries, we can't see them anymore because we're still within the boundaries. That makes us uncomfortable. Change, though, it gives us a gift. And that gift is how we think about things. We can revisit how we think about things. And revisiting how we think about things is a gift, folks. Because sometimes we just take everything for granted. It's so easy to take for granted, for example, that this building will be here and that it'll be warm. But if God knocked it down, what would we do? How would we meet? Well, I've got a house across the street. Y'all can come over there. We can meet there in the living room. Squeeze in some chairs. We'll have a nice, close, intimate fellowship. You know? But change tests us. It challenges us. And change itself changes us. Change gives us that gift to revisit how we think. It also affords us the chance to grow intellectually and emotionally. Change helps us to grow. You ever see somebody that's... And this is an extreme example, but I've seen people who've gone to jail at a young age. They get out and they're exactly the same as they were when they went in. They haven't changed. The whole world's gone on without them. And they're stuck in that intellectual and emotional place where they were when they went into jail. And so often, it depends on the length of time that they've been in jail, they cannot adapt. And they end up back in jail. And that's why when we're living in this life, everything's changing. We're adapting. That's helping us to grow and maintain our intellectual and emotional strength. The real test about change is how we respond to the changes that take place. As we experience changing times, we would be wise to heed the scripture that we read today. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And that phrase, a time, to everything there is a season, indicates that all things have a duration that terminates. Just like our lives. One day, we will no longer be here. That's a fact. Everything in this life changes. Everything terminates at some point in time. There is a season for everything. This is what God says. A time to every purpose carries with it several ideas. In one sense, it means the reason for things has a limited time or duration. Not just the thing itself has a limited time or duration, but the reason it exists ends. This is very often you think of things that have come in the past. How many pieces of equipment that used to be standard equipment are no longer in existence, not being used? There's lots of things like that. I won't name them. I can't think of any right now, and I didn't put any in my notes. But the truth is, there's lots of things that used to work, that used to be a part of our day-to-day lives, that are no longer there. Think about the dial-up phone. Now, after the dial-up phones, of course, we had the push-button phones. Oh, man, we thought we were moving on then, didn't we? Oh, yeah, we could. Beep, 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 beep. Who was the fastest at dialing a number then, huh? Nobody was restricted except by their own manual dexterity. Yeah, now we got phones we can talk to. Yeah, call Jim. Okay. Things change. That's the way life is. We have to take those changes in stride. And a time to every purpose also carries the idea of eternity. And passing on and continuing. When you look into the root of it. When a reason for something ceases to exist, change occurs. Or at least it should. And there's a lot of churches that have learned that. The reason that they existed no longer is valid. And so they've closed their doors. So they haven't met the needs of the community that they exist in. And this is something that every church has to do. Too often when it comes to churches and the organizations that they form, change is greatly resisted. Oh no, we've always done it that way. We can't change that. Oh no. And even here I've heard those words. Sadly, this has caused the demise of many a church. We must never forget that our Creator appoints times and seasons for everything without regard to our human whims and wishes. He doesn't care what we think. He doesn't care what we want in every case, because He sets the seasons. He sets the times. And if we ignore this reality, we sin against the author of creation and we bring distress upon ourselves. Who of us can make ourselves live changeless lives? How many of us can make our lives completely changeless? Zero. None of us can live changeless lives because everything around us changes. And if we ignore this, we're hurting ourselves. Permanence in this life is an illusion. It's an illusion. But I have to ask, can we maintain a hold onto some things as being changeless? Absolutely yes. Some things are timeless. Think of music, for example. Music is something we can listen to a song and it'll transport us back in our memory, and even our emotions can be affected by music from 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago. In fact, regarding eternity, it's written that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. It's not going to change. Not going to change. And I ask again, is all change necessarily bad or evil? No, of course not. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be, hear the word, changed. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Forever. At least that's what God's Word teaches. Is maintaining the status quo or living in a vacuum a good thing? Nope. Especially in the church. And we have to be willing to embrace the change that God brings to this church. We must, folks. It's the same as I said in 2008. I came here in 2007. And I saw that there were things that needed to change. And I saw there were people that were just absolutely staunchly opposed to anything changing. It had to stay identically the same as it ever had been. God said no. God said things are going to change. And I believe God's bringing a change this year. And it might be massive change. It might be change that's so far beyond our imagination when it's coming. The body of Christ is an active, living kingdom where Christ reigns supreme. At least that's what God's Word teaches us. Change occurs today just as it has through all of time. In 1952, a man named Pete Seeger turned the passage that we started with today into a song. It's called Turn, Turn, Turn. And a group by the name of the Byrds recorded it in 1965. There were other groups that had recorded it before that, but the most popular was this one that was recorded in 1965. And I want you to hear, because what happened was people were upset that they would dare turn Scripture into a pop song. Oh, that was blasphemy, people said. But listen to this. You could read along in your Bible if you wanted. Everything, there's a season. And at that time, by its popularity, that song reached untold numbers of people who might never have read that Scripture. They took Scripture and they popularized it in a song. Now, it was an anti-war song, to be sure. And it got people thinking about peace. But some believed it was blasphemous to make a worldly song from Scripture. I personally think that God was honored by the fact that His Word was going out into such a broad audience that might never have heard it otherwise. Absolutely. Do you know that believers only sang the Psalms in the early church? And they did it without musical accompaniment. Did you know that? When Charles Wesley and Fanny Crosby and others began writing the hymns that we find in our hymn books today, many people rejected them. Just like the modern Christian music. Now, there's a lot of modern Christian music that I can't go along with, folks, because it's all about me songs. Me, 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 I. Instead of God, 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 Christ, Christ, Christ. But these songs, they're rich with Scripture. The hymns that we sing, they are rich. They are solid. Now, there's some that we stay away from because theologically they're a little different than what the Bible shows. Many people rejected those songs. You know, when the organ was brought into the church, people left. That was a saloon instrument. How dare you bring that into the church? Same with the piano. Can you believe it? They called it worldly. Some people couldn't embrace those changes, and yet today they're falling out of use, but they're certainly well accepted. When motorized automobiles came on the scene, many refused to adapt. Yeah, they continued using animals and wooden carts and buggies. Wouldn't jump in a motorized vehicle for their life. But others embraced the change. And today we take motorized transport for granted. The change. When electricity arrived, some refused to plug in. Would not have anything to do with it. Electricity, it's of the devil. Oh, yeah. But others embraced that change, too. And we all have access to this clean energy source for lighting, heating, just a plethora of other things. Cooking. Equipment. Machinery. Manufacturing. Electricity has changed the way we live our lives. What we consider safe borders right now. It was unknown frontiers back then. Some in the church refused to accept the changing times, and to this day they maintain practices from times gone by. Think of the Mennonites. Think of the Quakers and the Amish. They won't accept those changes. Maybe they got a good idea in some ways. I've sometimes told Chris, we ought to become Amish. She says, no. So I can live without electricity. I've done it for short periods of time. Now, at midnight tonight, many people will celebrate the flipping of the calendar from December 2017 to January 2018. All sorts of things will take place to commemorate this change. There are going to be public parties and there are going to be private parties all over the place. Most popular site for this in the United States is Times Square in New York City. But you know that wasn't always the case. Do you know where people used to celebrate before 1904? Before 1904, Trinity Church in Lower Manhattan was the place to bring in the new year. Before 1904. And the change from this was not well accepted by many, but it was wholeheartedly adopted by countless others. And now we see Trinity Church in Lower Manhattan, if it even still exists, is not the place to bring in the new year. The dropping ball began a few years later, and it signaled the beginning of the new year here in the United States ever since. Recent creation, relatively speaking. Like those who have endured changes in the times past, we either embrace or reject the changes, and the world goes on whether we embrace them or we reject them. But some changes have to be rejected, like changing the definition of marriage, for example. We can't accept that. But other changes aren't so cut and dry. Here's a few more changes that have occurred through time. Around 2000 BC, the Babylonian New Year began with the first visible crescent moon after the vernal equinox. That's when they started their New Year. It's the first day of spring. And their party lasted 24 hours? No. 2 days? No. A week? No. 11 days they partied to bring in the new year. The Romans continued to observe the new year in late March. But changes to their calendar throughout the centuries made it out of sync with the sun. And so then they changed it in 153 BC to start the new year at January 1st after they added January and February to their 10-month calendar. And the early church condemned New Year celebrating as paganism. But that changed too. The church adopted this whole idea of celebrating New Year's because they adopted all these other pagan traditions and celebrations. The medieval church, around in the 1500s, over in Europe, they repeatedly changed the new year. They celebrated December 25th, they celebrated March 1st, they celebrated March 25th, and other dates. That was the beginning of the new year. But January 1st wasn't always the way it is now as we see it. Western nations, though, have celebrated January 1st for about 400 years. That's been our new year, when our new year starts, January 1st. New year traditions have changed, too. But making resolutions, that dates back to the Babylonians also. Only they didn't make resolutions about quitting bad habits or losing weight. They made resolutions about giving their tools back, the tools they had borrowed back. Whether they're going to return their borrowed farm tools. Using a baby to signify the new year started in Greece around 600 BC to celebrate their wine god. They paraded a baby around in a basket to represent the rebirth of the spirit of fertility. Early Egyptians also used a baby as a rebirth symbol. The early church, though, condemned that practice. Yeah, it was a pagan practice. But then, they changed it to allow it to symbolize the birth of Jesus. They changed it. Auld Lang Syne is an old Scots tune that literally means old long ago. The good old days. And it was changed into a popular New Year's song tradition in 1929 by Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians. Lombardo's version was played from 1929 until 1976 at the Waldorf Astoria every New Year's Eve. But that changed too when Lombardo died in 1977. Dick Clark started his version of New Year's celebrating in 1972 from Times Square. And that continues even though Clark died in 2012. To this day, we still celebrate in Times Square. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. It just, as I said, it means old, long ago, or the good old days. That's what it means. This year, as we celebrate turning the calendar, I want us to remember everything has a season. Everything. And this too shall pass. Some changes are difficult to embrace, but not all changes, negative or bad. Some brings goodness and blessing. And think of the changes in textiles, for example. Agriculture and transportation. Some have brought positive results, some have brought negative. Changes in the church brought us the organ and piano and hymns. Remember, the Scripture teaches Almighty God and His Christ do not change. And also remember, God orders the seasons of things. To reject all change as negative or bad is to hurt ourselves and sin against God. Remember that. Let's remain faithful stewards of everything that's entrusted to us, but let's not turn our backs on changes just for the sake of remaining changeless. Let's embrace the positive changes that God brings here. Let's embrace those changes that God wants to happen here in the new year. You know, so many good things have come. Think of the Bible. We have the Bible in many visual and audio formats now. We don't have to even read if we don't want to. We can listen to the Bible. We can read along with it as we listen. Let's resolve this year to pray. And let's resolve to get into God's Word. Remember, many in the established religion at the time of Christ rejected His message of change. He brought a message of change, you know. Let's not be blinded by our love of traditions and our way of doing things that we reject Christ. Instead, let's open ourselves to the fullness that God brings this year to embrace His gifts and His enhancements in our lives. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, it's written in James. It comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Yes, to everything there is a season. There's a time for every purpose under heaven, and everything changes. Let's embrace the positive changes this year. To experience joy and happiness, let go of what's gone. Be grateful for whatever remains. And as we move into the new year, look forward to whatever is next. Expect it. And know that God is in control of all the changing times. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, You and You alone are in control. We know that. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think that we need to be in control. We need to be in charge of things. Sometimes we think we got to hold on to things, Lord, because after all, they're good. They're not bad things. But God, help us to embrace the changes that You have for us in this coming year. Help us to remember that every gift, every good gift and every perfect gift is from You. It comes down from You, and there's no variation or shadow of turning. We know that You tell us there's a season for everything and a time for every purpose under heaven, and everything changes. And so, Lord God, help us to embrace the changes. Help us, Lord, to pass the tests that You put before us in changes this year. Help us to remain faithful stewards of everything that You entrust to us. Let us not turn our backs on change just for the sake of remaining changeless. Let us embrace the positive change that comes with the passing of time in the coming year, we pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's open our hymnals to number 82. We'll sing together number 82. And I think we're just going to sing the first and the last verse. We're going to do it a cappella. If you can stand, please stand as we sing number 82. God be with you.